Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, it should be a no surprise to anybody that COVID-19 has disrupted almost every aspect of the payments industry. This also includes business payments and, more specifically, cash flow. Now, the fundamentals behind cash flow are fairly basic, but the ways to manage it have changed over the years and, in some views, has been upgraded with the advancement of technology and platforms. So to talk about cash management from the fundamentals to the current trends, I have Steve Murphy, who is the Director of Commercial and Enterprise Payments Advisory Service at Mercator Advisor Group. So there's certainly a lot to learn on today's episode, so without any further delays, let's start the show.
So Steve, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on today's episode, because one of the things that I kind of really wanted to dive into a little bit, and I'm really kind of glad that Mercator Advisor Group is going to be having a webinar coming up fairly shortly around this, and it's matching solutions with client needs in the cash cycle. So I kind of want to get into a little bit of the kind of the 101 side of things here, because I think the webinar is going to go quite a bit more into detail for that. So before we get into any questions about the technology involved, in this, can you first explain the meaning of the corporate cash cycle?
Yeah, absolutely. So, folks that have taken finance courses will be familiar with the term working capital, and you hear that utilized a lot these days. And, you know, it's basically short-term assets minus short-term liabilities. And so the basic meaning of the cash cycle is the time and the money involved to buy inventory, to store it, to sell it, and then to collect on your invoices after you ship and it's received. But you've also got those same companies are buyers. They have to get supplies themselves. So the paying of their invoices is also involved in the mix, or you know, how quickly a company will pay their invoices. So you end up with something called cash cycle, cash conversion cycle, which is a formula basically that measures how long on average a company's cash remains tied up in its operations. So that's where cash flow comes from. So there are three parts to that calculation, and many listeners will be familiar with some of these. So the pieces are days inventory outstanding, or the average number of days that the company holds its inventory before selling it. Then you've got another component called days sales outstanding, which is the number of days on average of sales that the company, the number of days of average sales that the company has outstanding. So they're trying to collect on the stuff they sold and the invoices that they send out. And then you get days payable outstanding, which is the average number of days the company takes to pay its bills. And so once a company tracks this cash conversion cycle, then they can use it to kind of better understand their own working capital efficiency, as well as then compare themselves to competitors in the same segments. So that's how I'd summarize it.
Yeah, I think that's certainly a good overview to have on that. You know, that it's kind of just also a little bit of kind of business 101 there a little bit. This may seem kind of a little bit of an obvious question here, but let's discuss it here, right? Because we're already kind of going over some 101 things here. So now the question becomes of how are banks in particular getting involved with helping clients kind of really manage that entire cash cycle we were just talking about?
Well, you know, the banks are sort of, that's kind of what they do from a business side. So they provide cash cycle solutions and services. So if you think about the working capital management, it normally falls under the areas of responsibility of CFOs and treasurers. These are primary bank constituents or customers. So not only are they deciding in which banks they're going to keep their cash, but also what products and services that they need to manage their financial operations and even which vendors will provide these things. So they have a slew of products that are associated with, managing expenses and treasury management, including ERPs, treasury management systems, electronic invoices, payments, receivables, trade finance, reconciliations, and so forth. And so banks have historically been primary providers of many of these solutions, or at least with a direct face to the client, even if technology partners were in the background with systems and services. So these, as such, these are kind of drivers of what you call non-interest income expense. Non-interest income for banks, which is a hugely important thing for them, especially as net interest margins are squeezed these days by what seems to be kind of perpetually low interest rates. So most banks make more of their income from interest income and less from transaction banking. So with net interest margins being squeezed, they're looking to make more money from transactions, which is why these types of solutions are very important.
Yeah, so certainly really interesting on that point. And now one of the things I certainly love to talk about is kind of just the technology aspect of it, right? So as you see it, you know, what's really been happening with regard to the technology and also then the products and services that support these financial operations? You know, what are you seeing that's really kind of going on in the marketplace nowadays?
It's a kind of a pretty clear trend over the past several years that digital systems and their processes are making financial operations more efficient, both in terms of, you know, resource costs and even being more effective in terms of cash forecasting and cash management choices. So it becomes strategically useful. From a historical perspective, software and services for managing these financial operations have most often been point solutions. So each of the product areas mentioned earlier were being managed through, you know, separate operation lines of business, and even provided separately by banks, and also many vendors that provided solutions across cash cycle operations were normally specializing in one of the solutions or maybe two. But even if they had more, they weren't actually packaging them as combined solutions. So if you think of the big core banking providers out there who also have other types of solutions such as payments and lockbox and so forth, these are not really sold as converged working capital tools. Today, though, that approach is becoming outdated and therefore changing quickly. During the past several years, a fintech convergence of these separate financial operations needs and capabilities has been taking shape, and it's being accelerated by acquisitions and new partnerships and sophisticated APIs. So this has become even more pronounced during the past 6 months with the onset of the pandemic. And while, you know, many of the larger corporations have somewhat successfully digitized some of their financial operations, there remains a gap in the middle market where resources to meet all these challenges are less available.
All right. Now, before we wrap things up here, right, I kind of want to give the audience a little bit of a teaser of what we're going to really be talking about on the webinar here that's going to be coming up. And for those of you who are listening right now and following along on paymentsjournal.com, we're going to have a form to that webinar in the article below. So certainly be on the lookout for that. So Steve, for the last question here, you know, what do you think banks should be doing about these set of circumstances and going forward trends that you were just talking about?
Sure. I mean, you get their, you know, kind of the really big banks, the money center, global banks, and then, you know, tier ones, the super regionals. And they have, you know, the resources to invest and have been doing so in several different ways. So one way is they set up investment entities and do lots of research. And then they're, you know, these entities go out and buy positions in fintechs. You know, they fund them and so forth. And then often the fintech ends up utilizing the bank, I should say, ends up utilizing the fintech services. And that exposes the fintech to numerous bank clients and sort of in a way protects the bank investments. So they also set up these accelerator programs. So entrepreneurs can develop product ideas even while working with bank operations, bank personnel. The larger banks also have the ability to set up, you know, API sandboxes and other progressive technology assets in-house. The mid-tier banks don't necessarily have that budget flexibility or resource availability. So for these mid-tier financial institutions to match up corporate client needs with the appropriate solutions, just to keep the institutional position as primary advisors and service providers to these clients, they need to evaluate what they have versus what the clients need over the next 5 to 10 years. So that constituency is more in the sort of the mid-market than it is large multinationals. Therefore, they should have an interest in segmenting the middle market to figure out what these companies need and how to best capitalize on all this new technology in order to secure that business, remain competitive. Companies, however, are often looking beyond traditional banks for modern solutions, becoming more and more common. The rise of these fintechs and various open banking initiatives across the globe, driven by both market and regulatory realities, that's created greater awareness among corporate buyers of the digital capabilities available to them. So in addition, as we mentioned before, the pandemic has accelerated the desire for more automated financial operations. So banks kind of need to figure this out. And, you know, we can help them think through that process and help build a more intelligent set of criteria to compete more effectively and fill the gap going forward with the growing demand. So, you know, that's how I'd summarize it.
Well, excellent. Well, thank you, Steve, so much for taking the time today for speaking to me about the corporate cash cycle and also this upcoming webinar that you're going to be on. And certainly looking forward to having you on the podcast episode again real soon.
My pleasure. Thanks.